Lord, as we heard in that reading, you draw us to yourself. You guide us in the way of your light and to be lights that shine. So, Father, speak to us afresh today. Draw us to yourself, and may we be lights that shine out for your kingdom and for your glory. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you, and thank you for joining us here in the cathedral and also those at home. Now, I know last weekend there were a number of birthdays around the church, but if you've a family birthday in June, would you raise a hand? Yep, not so many today. Some appearing there. That's great. And family birthdays are great occasions. I can't believe that my granddaughter Summer will be 10 years old tomorrow. And I well remember that very summery June day that she was born 10 years ago. It's hard to take in. But there was another birthday, June birthday, this past week, and the guy's 1,500 years old, if he'd still been around, and his name's St. Columba. He was born in 521, it must have been, and he is one of the saints that followed St. Patrick, and he was someone who was forever changed, who had to die to his old self and to rise to his new self. And when we look at the history of the church and the saints who served down through the centuries, we get a picture of sinful men and women who received an extraordinary call from God to bring him glory, to go in his name and to grow the church. And that's what Columba did. In John 12, we heard about the seed that fell into the ground and died, and then rose again to bring new life and a harvest. There's a wee rhyme, an English country folk song, and it goes like this. There were three men came out of the west, their fortunes for to try. And these three men made a solemn vow, John Barleycorn must die. They ploughed, they sowed, they harrowed him in, threw clods upon his head, till these three men were satisfied, John Barleycorn was dead. Now, John Barleycorn, of course, is a corn of barley. And the verses that follow speak of how he springs up from the grave only to be cut down with a scythe, beaten and mashed, and then he finally produces beer for the folk singer. And so Jesus uses similar images in John 12. At this point, Jesus is becoming well known, and the stories have gone around that he can bring people back from the dead. And so the crowds are wanting to meet with him, including a delegation of Greeks who wanted to find out more about this man who came from a Jewish background, and that was unheard of. In verse 19 of John 12, we read, "The whole world has gone after him." And it would have been easy for Jesus to choose the way of the world, but instead, he chose the way that led him to being like a grain of wheat that dies alone in order to bring a plentiful harvest of new lives coming to God. He warns his followers in verse 25. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who despise their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, recently in our staff and interns meetings, we've been reading a book called Faithful Leaders and discussing it over our last four meetings. And one of the things that the writer, Rico Tice, says is the way of the cross is utterly incompatible with being self-serving. And this was the lesson that St. Columba would learn on his journey with Jesus. He was born in Lochgarten in County Donegal. He felt the call of God to study the Bible, to share the gospel, and as I mentioned, he would become the first major figure of the Irish Church since St. Patrick. And this calling would force him to make hard choices on whether to follow the way of the world or the way of glorifying Christ. He would choose in the end to be like a grain of wheat that dies to self to bring glory to Christ. He would be a man who would be forever changed. And as he was forever changed, he became less and the glory of Christ became more. And that's the first thing that we must do as Christians. We must become less and the glory of Christ must become more. And so as we gather for worship, and it's been lovely to have the string quartet this morning and the music and Megan leading us, and as we sing, as we worship, you know, we're here to give all of that glory to Christ as we do My Lighthouse or any of the other songs, Cornerstone a bit later on, Oh Praise the Name. And that's all about giving glory to Christ as we worship. In Mark's Gospel, when we look back to Mark chapter 10, we see there two of Jesus' disciples came seeking glory. In fact, they wanted the best seats in the house in heaven. And so James and John came asking for the best seats. And Jesus said to them, "Can you drink the cup that I drink?" And of course they replied, "We can." And he said, "You will drink the cup that I drink, but you do not know what you are asking for." So how was this played out in their lives? Well, James became the first apostolic martyr. We read that in Acts 12 and verse 2. The first of the apostles to die for the sake of the gospel. And John was quite different. He lived a long life, but he lived a long life in exile on the island of Patmos, where he had those wonderful visions that we particularly see in the book of Revelation. And during that time, he endured decades of suffering as he saw Christians die for their faith. Both of them drank the cup that Jesus drank as they served him, but in very different ways. They had challenging choices to make. Would they choose the way of the world or the way of Christ? Would they choose the way of self-seeking or the way of self-sacrifice? And they made the choice to choose Jesus, to see him, and to follow the way of self-sacrifice. In Mark 10 and verse 45, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The way of the cross is the way of sacrifice and service. The challenge for us is to choose to be brave, to serve Christ, to love his word, to serve his church, and indeed to love his church as we worship, as we share the gospel out there, as we engage in evangelism, as we open a new church to make new believers in South Lisburn, in teaching, in prayer, in caring for the lost, and in loving the church, because Jesus loves every person in his church, and he also welcomes back every lost prodigal with a warm embrace as they come home. This is the place for us to serve and to glorify Jesus. Will you choose to see him, to hear his call, and to follow the way of glory? The way that Jesus chose is the way of humanity. He was born as one of us. He experienced everything that we experience, every emotion and more. He chose the way of the cross to be stretched out and to give his blood, his life, his all for each and every one of us. He chose to die for you and for me and for all mankind, that we might receive that unique glory of Christ in our lives. He chose us over himself. He gave us all for us. And having so often told his followers that his hour had not yet come, in John 12 and verse 24, he says, his hour has come. And he vividly describes what glory will look like in his life. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. It produces a harvest. Jesus is describing the way to true glory, the way of losing our lives to receive the glory of eternal life. And in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read there that he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to be condemned. He so loves us that he gave us life that we might have eternal life. The Lord Jesus calls everyone to repentance and to faith. And that is the gateway to glory, to dying to ourselves, and through the glory of the cross, then receiving a fresh start. And it requires of us that sins should be confessed, that sins will be forgiven, and that sin in our lives must be fought. And these were lessons that Columba would learn. He was seeking to serve Christ, but he fell into sin and he needed a fresh start. He spent many years studying in monastic schools. And then he had the bright idea of copying an Irish Psalter, a book of Psalms, without the permission of the owner, St. Finian of Moville. And this led to a quarrel. But they didn't just have heated words, they got their armies out, and a battle took place. And 3,000 people died in that battle as a result. Columba's sin resulted in the deaths of those people. And as a result, he was excommunicated for a time, and he realized that he had messed up. Now, let me ask you, have you ever messed up in your walk with Christ? Certainly, I have. Will you ever mess up or sin in the future as you serve him? And we will all fall short. And when we sin, it is essential that we, like Columba, repent, make amends, seek God's forgiveness, and fight against sin in our lives. And this is something that we spent some time on in our staff and interns meeting as we looked at that Faithful Leaders book, that we need to fight our sin because holiness matters to God and it matters in our service to the Lord. Our sin requires repentance, and not just when we come to faith, although it is essential then, but also when we fall short in our lives and in our service for Christ. So we seek his glory. And then Columba was forever changed to go and to grow the gospel. Columba, because of his style, out of sight of Ireland on the island of Iona. And this was in repentance for all that had happened as a result of that battle. And he went to go and show Christ to the pagan Scots. And we have to remember that that Ireland started to change in the time of Patrick, and Scotland hadn't been changed hardly at all. And so it really was, both parts of these islands were barbaric at that time. And so he went to show Christ to the pagan Scots. He determined to make amends by sharing the gospel and bringing more people to faith than had died at his hand. And in Mark 10 and verse 23 we read, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." And Columba became a slave to the gospel. He set up a community on the island of Iona and brought people in to train at the monastery there. And so Columba, the soldier and warrior, became the man who evangelized in a violent secular society. A warrior monk who created, by his singular determination, a literate Christian society amongst the Scots. And in our service for Christ, we are to go and to show others the Lord. We are to set an example of what it means to be a Christian. And that wonderful image of Jesus taking the towel and washing his disciples' feet is such a powerful one, that he took the very role of a servant. There's a lovely story about a very talented church leader called Paul Berg. And he was so gifted at sharing the gospel, leading churches, bringing people on in faith and helping them grow and serve. And then he came to retirement. And he and his wife retired to a little village in England. And they joined a local church. And when they joined the local church, it became obvious that there was nowhere for the mums with young children to meet. And so they said, "Well, listen, we'll set up a Bible study for young mums." And the young mums said, "Well, we don't have anybody to look after our children. How can we study the Bible?" And so Paul Berg's wife took on the Bible study for the young mums, and he looked after the creche. So someone who took on the role of a servant so that the gospel would be shared. Success in leadership is the towel of Christ. And yet the way of the world can so often be the opposite. This week I picked up on social media a post from a local coffee shop, and the staff were being hassled and receiving harsh comments. This coffee shop purposefully employs staff with disabilities to give them opportunities, and the manager requested that customers be patient. And we are indeed so often impatient with others. We need to learn patience. I was delighted to follow the responses. So many people sent comments that really complimented the staff and the service and gave them a hope and a future. And that's what we're called to do as Christians, to give people a hope and a future. As Luke 6 and verse 31 says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." I wonder, have you considered, what do you want from life? What is it that you want to do and to achieve in your life? And in light of that, how will you respond to Jesus' call to die to self and to go and to grow his church? If we want to follow Jesus, well, then there's a requirement to respond to his call and to make disciples. And the great late Christian leader John Stott put this challenge to the church: where is the spirit of adventure? Where is the sense of calculating solidarity with the underprivileged? Where are the Christians who are prepared to put service before security, compassion before comfort, hardship before ease? Thousands of pioneer Christian tasks are waiting to be done, which challenge our complacency and which called for risk. Insistence on security is incompatible with the way of the cross. What a powerful challenge to us as Christians. And you know, we have been dispersed, we have been apart, and there are all sorts of fears. But do you know, we need to recover that sense of adventure, that sense of being prepared to go and to grow the church of Christ. Faith is a risk, and it leads to a lifetime of adventure with Jesus. But it requires of us that we seek the crown of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we seek his cross and his resurrection first of all, that we respond to the call of Jesus by having a passion for adventure for the cause of the gospel. How will you and I respond to the cross and resurrection of Jesus? How will we serve like Christ? How will we become more like Christ? How will we seek to please Christ as our first port of call? And how will we show more of Christ in our lives? Can I encourage you to take time to consider his call on your life and to consider the next stage in your journey of service for the Lord? We've already heard this morning of great opportunities with our children and youth during this coming summer to serve and to grow the gospel here. I encourage you to really pray and consider being part of that. In the coming months, we're going to be thinking deeply about how we glorify Christ and how we, right here in this cathedral, go and grow the gospel. And we'll be starting a process of that this coming autumn. Take time to consider the call of the Holy Spirit and hear the voice of Christ. Perhaps too often we think that we have to go across the world to really serve Christ. This week, a young man called Lawrence was interviewed about his mission field, and you're going to hear from him now.
LifeGuard was a program, a Healthy Heart program that God had put on my heart after my uncle died of a heart attack. Now, he was only 44, and God really stirred me to really design a program that could go into schools that would teach kids about physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And it's all based around Proverbs 4:23, which is, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, I worked at Willowfield Parish for 10 years and ran this program. It ended up in 44 schools, so over 7,000 kids had done the program. And when I kind of got the job in Newry, I thought, well, is this something that I'm leaving behind? Is it something that I'm not going to bring? And then when I did my research, like Scott had said about doing his research, I kind of found out that Newry was voted the second worst city in the UK to raise children. Now, that's after London. And then I realized why God had stirred me and brought me to Newry, because I'd worked as a kids and youth worker for 10 years at Willowfield Parish in Belfast, and I designed this program. Now, just to give you a bit of context, I have a lot of cartoons that go along with the program. This is Larry the lifeguard, but this is the verse, Proverbs 4:23. I've only got moving down to Newry about a month, and I'm currently in two primary schools. So just being so thankful for God opening doors in the primary school. I'm getting to work with just under 300 kids, so ranging from primary one right through to P7, which over in England would be foundation year, a reception year up to year six. So just been spending 4 weeks, just about half an hour with each group, teaching them about physical, emotional, and spiritual health, which has been really just a privilege just to meet the kids, get chatting with teachers and principals, and then get to know parents as well through that. And just the connections, as Scott was saying about connection, the connections that it's opening, because people have then been getting in touch with me from other schools saying, could you come in with the program? And that's been really exciting. But again, as well, I'm here to work with all ages. So while I've loved getting into the primary schools, some other stuff that we're looking at is, I love how Jesus has been mentioned so much in this broadcast. And one of the things that God put on my heart was just to design a brand. And it's simple. It just says AJT. And what it is it stands for a Jesus thing. Because we don't want to sell a Catholic thing or a Protestant thing or an evangelical thing or any other kind of thing. It's a Jesus thing. So I started an Instagram recently called A Jesus Thing Movement. And really what it is just I'm going to kind of produce merch, merchandise. And I've gone into the recording studio recently to record some of the songs that I've written. I'm a singer-songwriter. And just to kind of get that out, but so that young people can wear the brand of clothing. And when people ask, what does that mean? Well, then share the vision that it's a Jesus thing. And it's, you know, that's it. It's because, as Penny said, people are maybe tired of religion and church, and we want to introduce them to Jesus. So this is really exciting things like that. And I just got some artwork sent through today from a graphic guy that I work with for our new project called Compassion Uri, which is using the C-O-M from the Center of Mission brand, but then just adding passion and then Uri. And I'm so excited about that. You know, we were in talks with the Trussell Trust about starting a food bank, because they see Uri and Mourne as a big gap in provision. And just to reach out in different ways, showing the love of Jesus and showing the compassion that we read about in the Bible, that he showed with people. He didn't just meet their spiritual needs, but their physical, their emotional needs. So just the connections that God has already started to stir just in a small space of time. I'm so encouraged.
So Lawrence, as you probably picked up there, working in the Newry Centre of Mission and developing things like that clothing brand, you know, a Jesus thing. As the interview goes on, he's talking about the radio, Christian radio station coming to Newry, working with schools and doing so much. So on the ground, doing all of those things, on mission for Jesus, just 30 miles down the road. And when he goes to the schools, he then finishes off by saying to the school children, do you know that you're a VIP, that you are valued, that you have an identity, and that you have a purpose? And he finishes off by saying, and I find my value, my identity, and my purpose in Jesus. And gives the very gentle invite, would you like to know more about Jesus and what it means to be a VIP? So mission on our doorstep. I encourage you to go and look up Cuppa with a Key Worker and to hear the whole interview. Lawrence comes about halfway through an hour-long interview. In John chapter 12, you're called, like Jesus, to die to self. Just as a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies and then produces a harvest. And always remember that none of us can do this in our own strength. It is totally by the power of the Holy Spirit that we serve our wonderful Lord and Savior. So ask the Spirit to guide you. Ask the Spirit to fill you. Ask the Spirit to give you a new sense of adventure for the sake of the gospel. This great adventure, as we see in the lives of St. Columba and in the life of Lawrence, 1,500 years apart, can encourage us to do what I've been talking about this morning, to truly glorify Christ, to go in his name and to grow the Church of Christ, which is so essential at this time. And we are indeed to do it, as is described in Acts, to go to Judea, which is close at hand, to go to Samaria, which is a little further away, and to go to the ends of the earth, for people to be forever changed. May you hear his call. May you see Jesus. May you respond to the gospel, and may you go on adventure with the Lord and in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for pioneers who step out, maybe in their own town or nearby. We thank you for pioneers who go across the world to share the gospel or to resource churches across the world. We know, Lord Jesus, that you love your church, that you will build your church. May we be your workers, and may your glory be seen. May your gospel be shared, and we pray that your church will grow through the power of the Spirit. Amen.